don't we turn to John chapter 14 this morning, 11 to 15. Give you guys a couple of moments to get there. If you are using your phone, I'm going to read out the Message version. Nope, not the Message. I'm reading out the Amplified. So if you want to find the Amplified, well, this is John 14, 11 to 15. And this is what it says. It says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves which you have witnessed. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, an extent and outreach, because I am going to be with the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative, and I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it." God, we want to thank you this morning, Lord, that you want to speak to us, Lord, and that you have a plan. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning to speak your words, Lord, not my words, but your words, Lord. I pray that you'd soften our hearts to be able to receive the word that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So most of you would know, so we migrated to New Zealand about 20 years ago, so that's actually in July this year, we hit 20 years, and it's crazy to think how much has changed in the last 2 decades that we've been here. And so at the start of the year, when Pastor Richard spoke, he talked about how he was a bit of a different man when he spoke for the first time this year. And I went through the same transformation about a month ago. I'm a stronger rope now. I've three strands in my rope, and I'm not easily broken. And I've added to my ring collection. So I got married about a month ago. And to answer everyone's question at the same time, everyone's like, "How's married life?" So married life is great. It's actually quite similar to what life was like before. I still see my parents every day. I'm at their house about 4 or 5 times a week eating, so it's pretty good. I get the best of both worlds. Anyway, I digress a little bit. But so before we moved to New Zealand, so Mum used to be a principal of a school back in India, and Dad was the dean of the Bible college on the same campus. So being their son meant I was a son of the two most powerful people on campus, and so I went to that primary school, and so it meant we had a few perks. You know, life was good. One of the things was everyone used to give me like lollies and treats. Like everyone, I was a cute kid to boot, but on top of that, you know, I was the son, so everyone used to give me lollies, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. My teeth didn't because I had most of my back teeth removed, and I had to get braces and a bunch of stuff, but it was a great time. Even Nathaniel had a few perks. So in India, you learn 3 languages, so you start learning 3 languages as soon as you start school. So Dad decided 3 years old was too early to learn 2 other languages, so he's like, "Yeah, you know, you don't have to go to school for half the day." So what he used to do is just walk around with Mum, like he used to have his hand behind his back and walk around like he was the boss of the place. Everyone his age, his classmates would be in school, they'd have to be at school, but he was like, "Meh, I'm the principal's kid, could do whatever I wanted." I think one of the best perks for me is, so during morning tea and lunchtime, I think there's about 300 kids at the school, so everyone would race to the playground, because there's one playground, and everyone wanted the swings. Like, everyone wants the swings. That's the best thing on the playground. So morning tea and lunchtime, 300 people would race to those swings to be the first ones to get there. Because once you're the first ones there, you get to swing. And so especially during lunchtime, everyone would be sitting there eating their food as fast as possible, waiting for that second bell to go. Because as soon as that second bell goes, boom, straight, you're running for those swings. See, me, I never had to do that. What would happen at morning tea and lunchtime is my friends would eat their lunch way quicker than I would and would run straight to the swings and save it for me so I could leisurely walk up. And as soon as I got there, I'd get my first turn. See, it had nothing to do with me, of who I was. You know, like at 3 years old and at 6 years old, we had no authority on our own. We were nobodies. But because we were the kids of the principal and the dean, we had so much authority behind us. And there was so much more that we could do. We had access to this authority that we wouldn't have had on our own. We hear this in church all the time. It says, it's not who you are, it's whose you are. And it's so true. And Dad's been saying that for a little while. See, we spend so much time trying to find out who we are and trying to find our purpose and trying to define ourselves and trying a whole bunch of different things. And more often than not, we get to the end of it. And rather than finding out who we are, we end up finding out who we're not. Okay, cool. Maybe I'm not really a goth, or I'm not really I'm not really an architect, or I'm not really this, I'm not really that. We get to the end of it trying to try all these things. I'm like, who am I? And we kind of get to the end and we get so frustrated. But if we change the approach, and this is what we've been talking about for the last little while as well, is if we change the approach from trying to find out who we are, if we grasp whose we are instead, it changes everything. See, that leads us to exactly who we are. See, when we've realized that we're the child of God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we are part of a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, and we are known before we were formed in our mother's womb. See, as soon as we start to grasp that and accept that, we start to understand who we are, because we're like, hey, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. I'm actually special. He's created me this way because that's who he wants me to be. I'm not trying to fit into a different box. That's not what I am. It's like, oh, if I'm his child, then this is who I am. And see, that's the first step. And once we get to that, the next part of the journey begins. See, when we step into what God has for us, that's when we start to access all that he has for us, the authority that he's placed in us and behind us. See, in verse 11 in that scripture, it says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves which you have witnessed. See, in the Bible, in different versions, they split verse 11 and 12. So they put a heading in the middle a little bit. But I like the message because it kind of keeps it together. Because I think verse 11 is key to the rest of that scripture. See, the most important part of this is Christ's relationship with the Father. See, everything else happens, comes out of his relationship with the Father. So if he wasn't in relationship with the Father, he would not be able to do any of the works that he talks about. He's like, if it wasn't for my relationship with the Father, then I couldn't do anything else. And see, that's real key for us as well. For us to step into what God has for us, to step into accessing our authority and everything that God has for us, first we have to know the one who has the authority. And that's what the service has actually been all about, reminding us of who God is and what he's done for us. And we've got to respond to that and say, God, I know who you are, and I want to be in relationship with you. See, once we know who has the authority, then it's a matter of how do we access that? How do we step in to all that he has for us? Verse 12, it says this, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things in extent and in outreach because I'm going to the Father. See, how many of us have seen movies where the hero or the main character has this potential inside of him? He has everything he needs inside of him. And all it needs to take is at the end of the movie, when he's about to have this big war, he realizes, man, all I need to do is believe in myself. And then that slowly unlocks everything. Or and we come to church and we see people having breakthroughs left, right, and center, and they share their testimony, and it usually ends up, it can be summed up by this. They just say, I just believed. The thing was, I just stepped into it and I believed. And we think, man, that sounds simple enough, but it can't be that easy. But the fact is, it is that easy. It is that simple. See, Jesus promises us that it is that simple. To access the authority that Christ has given us and more, the only prerequisite is to believe in him as our Savior. See, what does it mean to believe in him and as our Savior? It means that we believe that he paid the price 2,000 years ago. It means we believe that he died for our sins. And we accept that we get to take his goodness, his grace, his righteousness, and his sinless life, and we get to replace it with our sinful nature. And that's as simple as it gets. So you might be sitting there thinking, so you're saying all I need to do is accept what Jesus did on the cross as my own? And I'm like, yes, that's it. But wait, there's more. He says that we will do even greater things than what Jesus has done. See, Jesus did some crazy things in the Bible. He spits on the ground, he makes mud, and he puts it in a dude's eyes, and he gets healed. He starts to see. See, Jesus shows up 3 days late to a person, 3 days after he died, and he walks up to the tomb and he says, Lazarus, wake up and walk out. And he does. See, those are some crazy things that Jesus did. And he promises, he says, you will do even greater things than those. Like, for me, that's crazy. If God did that and he goes, yeah, those things were like basic level. You're going to do some stuff even crazier. Like, that gets me excited. But then my next question is like, how? How do I do this? In verse 13, it says this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. See, the answer is as simple to this as the answer to the previous question. See, we tend to get confused and sometimes try to complicate things when we don't need to. See, he knows that we overthink things and we tend to doubt a lot and everything kind of, we try to do things in our own strength. But he goes, because when we try to do it in our own strength, we overthink it and we're like, man, I can't do this. That's not realistic. Righty, righty, right. God says, man, I'm going to make it real simple. I'm going to make everything real simple. Salvation itself, as Kaz shared this morning, is real simple. All she did was she said, I want that, God, I accept that, and she lifted her hand. That's all it was, and since then, her life has not been the same. See, signs and wonders don't just happen if we do a 40-day fast and retrace the steps of Jesus across the Holy Land. That's not the only way we're going to see miracles. That's not the only way we're going to get closer to God. It's much simpler. See, God is waiting to show off his power. See, God is waiting to do miracles to for us to step into what he has, for us to be able to do so much more. But it's up to us to just say, okay, God, and ask him. Say, God, I come into this situation. I need you to move into this situation. See, first we accept who we are in him. And number two, we just need to ask. It's that simple. See, here's where people get confused. Most people quote the scripture. They usually just quote verse 12 or 14 where it says that he will answer everything that we do. And then when it doesn't happen, we tend to get annoyed at God and we get mad and we get confused. You're like, but you said this in the Bible, but you haven't done this. Maybe you're not real. Ah, and we start to get frustrated at God. But that's because we don't pay attention to the whole scripture, the bit before and the bit after. See, context is key. You've already seen the start of the context. See, this verse comes out of relationship with God. First, Jesus says, hey, my relationship with the Father is what allows me to do this. So therefore, that's what's going to allow us to do this as well. The key to the scripture is in the middle. In the Amplified, it says this. It's got a little extra, but it says, ask me anything in my name. And it adds, as my representative. And it's got a footnote next to it, and this is what it says. The footnote says, what it describes a representative is, acting as Jesus' representative means that the person calling on his name is in close relationship with him and wants what he wants. And the message says it real cool too. It says, whatever you request along the lines of who I am, who Jesus is, and what I'm doing, what Jesus is doing, I'll do it. See, so often we pray prayers that aren't in line with God, with what God's doing and what he wants. And then we start to get frustrated. We're like, man, God, why aren't you doing this? How many of you have prayed as soon as the lotto hits, Powerball hits 20 million, you're like, God, give this to me. No, we don't do that, right? We're Christians. We don't gamble. But, you know, and how often has it happened? Not very often. What about sports? You'll be watching sports. You'll be sitting there and you'll be praying when the Blues and the Warriors play. Actually, no, like God doesn't answer those. That's unrealistic. But, you know, when Beauden Barrett, there we go. When Beauden Barrett is about to kick that field goal, how many of you like start to pray? I know my mum does. She's not here, but she'll be praying hard. And a lot of the time, that doesn't go that way either. See, why don't these prayers always work? Probably because it doesn't always line up with what God wants. See, the fact that, you know, God's like, man, God, I'm going through a tough situation financially. That 20 million would be great for me right now. But God says, actually, maybe you going through the situation will help you grow with your finances. Maybe it'll help you lean into me a little bit more. With the All Blacks, maybe there's, what about the other like 5 million people praying on the other team? Like, it doesn't quite line up. And so this happened to me the other morning, and Jonathan can relate to this as well. So Liverpool was playing Barcelona on Wednesday, and I was praying so hard. The score ended up being 3-0. I'm like, God, what's going on? How am I not in line? But we're still believing that Wednesday that we'll align and we'll do the comeback. But, you know, it doesn't always line up because God looks at the bigger picture. See, we see things through this, through the smaller lens, and where God looks at the bigger picture and the context, and then it's like, I've got something better for you. See, this is when we start to get into a bit of trouble. We take things out of context. We take things out of where they're meant to be, and we start to say, man, the Bible's a bit irrelevant right now, isn't it? Like, it's not for our current time or our current society. And this is a slight side tangent, but a real pet peeve of mine. But see, the Bible is never going to be irrelevant, and it's never going to be outdated. First of all, we are humans, which means we are created by God, so we are not creative enough to ever come up with new things. We will never come up with a new problem. We will never come up with a new solution. We will never come up with anything new. See, everything goes around in circles, and we tend to everything that we're struggling with right now as a society and as a nation, as humanity, we've been struggling for this since the creation, since the start of time. Nothing is new. See, all of Paul's letters he wrote are written to different churches, and every single one of those churches were dealing with different situations. So he writes a letter to the church of Corinth. So it's the Corinthians, and they were struggling with jealousy, with disunity, sexual immorality, and doctrinal problems. So he writes a letter to them to address those problems. And then he writes a letter to the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonia. And that was because they were a younger church, and they were struggling with the church being lazy and being selfish and not caring. And he hits those. See, what we tend to do is we tend to take a scripture out of Thessalonians and be like, man, that really, and we try to fit that into a different context when that's not what it's written for. See, and then we look at the Bible and think, man, it's not for me. But if we actually look at the bigger picture and we go, actually, Corinthians, the church in Corinthians was dealing with the same thing that we are right now. They're struggling with the same things. There's disunity in church. There's sexual immorality in church. And there's selfishness and jealousy in church. And then for a newer church, it's you go to Thessalonians, man, they're struggling the same things we are. That was written, what, nearly 2,000 years ago, and they're struggling with people being selfish. They're struggling with people being lazy in church. No, there's nothing new. So we can never say that the Bible is irrelevant or it's not written for us in our current context, because they were going through the exact same things that we were. See, firstly, the Bible is written in context. It's written in context of a sinful world. See, the world has been sinful since Adam fell. It's never changed, and it won't change till Jesus comes back. See, secondly, the Bible isn't meant to be looked at through the lens of our society. I'm like, man, I read the Bible through what's going on. The world is liberal now, and we believe all these things. We accept everyone, so therefore we read the Bible that way. The Bible was not written to be read that way. See, society and our world is meant to be looked at through the lens and the worldview of the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Does the world line up with the Bible? See, as soon as we do that, The Bible's not out of context, because the Bible is the context that we live in. The Bible is the context that we look at everything out of. See, this links back to what I was saying before. See, alignment. So we don't try to align our situation with God. We align, we don't try to align God with our situation. We align our situation with God. See, if we, and the question is, how do we do that? How do we know when it's aligned and how it's aligned? And if we continue reading chapter 14, this is where context comes out of. Jesus continues to talk about, he goes, in verse 16, he goes on to talk about a helper. He says, if you love me, 15 to 17, he says, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father and he will provide you another friend so that you may always have someone with you. This friend is the Holy Spirit. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and he will even be in you. And the Amplified says this, I have told you these things while I'm still with you, but the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will help you remember everything that I've told you. See, that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit, to be able to discern and to align ourselves with the will of God. See, that's why he's our counselor and our intercessor. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and help us to remember everything he's told us. See, that's how you know that you're in line with the will of God. It's when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, helping us, reminding us, teaching us of what God is and what he wants. See, God's will is always best for us. See, we look at life through a finite lens. We see it with our past and up to now, whereas in God's view is infinite. He looks at it beyond now. He sees the effects of our decisions now. And so therefore, when he does something in our lives, for us at this moment, it might seem uncomfortable. And aligning with his will might seem like, God, this is scary. This is not what I want to pray for. This is not what I want to do in this current situation. But God says, you might feel like this now, but 10 steps down the line, you'll be exactly where I want you to be. Whereas if you didn't align with me back here, if you weren't uncomfortable back here, you'll end up somewhere I didn't want you to be. Somewhere that's not the best for you. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't only give us access to the will of God. He also gives us access to the authority in any situation to align with the will of God. See, we have authority to speak into any situation that's not right and to align it with the will of God. See, that's why we've been given authority to speak against any sickness, to speak against any obstacles, speak against any struggle that may face us, that is blocking us and hindering us from God. But that's when the Holy Spirit gives us the authority to speak against it, to pray against it, and to say, this is not what God has for me. See, the answer might not always come straight away. And we might think that it's not always immediate and God's a bit slow, but that's when trust comes in. And then God gives an answer for that as well. If we carry on to verse 27, he says this. He says he will give you perfect peace so that in the wait to the fulfillment of your answer and the promise, when you pray for something and it doesn't happen straight away, he says, I'm going to help you with the weight. I'm going to give you peace in the situation. You might not have the answer right away, but on this journey to the answer, while I grow you, while I take you on this journey to where I want you to be, I'm going to still give you peace so that you're not anxious in the wait, you're not worried in the wait, that you know that I am with you. So how do we access the authority that Christ has and has given us? See, first we need to know who God is, and then we accept who we are through him.
Once we accept who we are and our identity in Christ, we get to ask Him for whatever we want. But we get to ask in alignment with Jesus and who He is, because what He has for us is the best. And if we want to live out our best life and all that we want, we get to ask in alignment with Jesus. See, because if God knows what's best and we want what's best in every situation, then all of our prayers will be aligned with Him. And then everything we ask for will come to pass. See, why don't we stand to our feet this morning? Why don't we close our eyes and bow our heads? There's a few different groups of people we want to pray for this morning. Our vision and our mission of this church is to see our city saved, and that's one soul at a time. So we're never going to get sick of giving opportunities for people to say, God, I want you in my life. So I'm going to give you guys one more opportunity first to start with, to say, God, I need to realign my life with you right now. Lord, I've never been in alignment with you, or I've stepped away and I need to come back. I know I've given this opportunity at the start, but I'm going to do it again. If that's you this morning, say, God, I need you in my life. Why don't you just raise your hand this morning? Would love to pray for you and pray with you. The other group I want to pray for this morning is those of us who have a relationship with God, but there's been words that have been spoken against us in the past, or situations that have happened to us, but they're still blocking us from firstly accepting our identity in Christ. People have spoken things against you to say you're not worthy. As Dad said this morning, that you can't be loved and that you can't access all that God has for you because you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, or you've said this, or this has happened to you. But there is nothing that you can do that can disqualify you from stepping into the fullness of what He has for you. So if that's you this morning and you're feeling unworthy and you're feeling unqualified and saying, that's all well and good for the person next to me to be able to step into that and align himself with God and have all that He has for them. But for me, I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. Guess what? You are the most worthy and you're the most qualified this morning. God's coming after you this morning. So if that's you this morning, I'll give you an opportunity to be brave. Why don't you just raise your hand and say, God, I don't feel qualified, but yet I'm choosing to surrender my life to you. God, I'm choosing to align myself with you. Lord, speak your words over my life. With every eye closed and every head bowed. If that's you this morning, why don't you just raise your hand? God, I pray for each one of us, Lord. We feel so unqualified and so unworthy so often, Lord. But it is your sacrifice that qualifies us, Lord. It is nothing that we can say or do, Lord, but it is your unconditional love that draws us into you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, I pray against words that have been spoken over each one of us, Lord. Words that are blocking us, Lord, that's hindering us, Lord. Words that have been spoken to say that we're not worth it, that we'll never be worth it, that we're not good enough. Lord, I speak against those words, and Lord, I speak your words of life, Lord, that we are yours, Lord, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, that we are your chosen people, Lord, that we are loved unconditionally by you, Lord, that you knew us before we were formed, Lord. I pray those words of life into each one of us this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray that those would take root. and they will start to grow, Lord. Those will start to give us boldness and acceptance in who we are in our identity, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the last group I want to pray for this morning is the last part of that scripture where Jesus said he sent his helper. He sent the Holy Spirit. See, we weren't created to do life without the Holy Spirit living in us. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one who gives us the ability to walk and stay in alignment and to say no to situations we're meant to say no and say yes to things we aren't meant to say yes to. And the thing is, he wants to dwell in us, and all he's waiting for us to do is to say, okay, God, I'm going to let my walls down and say yes to you living in me. That's how simple it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if that's you this morning and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've never said, Holy Spirit, come live in me. If that's you this morning, we're going to open up the altar. We're going to have a prayer team and our leaders up here that would love to pray for you. So if we could have the worship team up too, please. We're just going to worship for a few moments. I know we're going a little bit late, but that's all right. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to open up the altar. We'd love to pray for you. Because that's the key to everything.